As you think about ordination, you need to overcome bitterness. Whether that's bitterness in past relationships, hurts, envy, whether it's a different time in your life, whether it's childhood trauma, whatever it is, somehow, and I say somehow because I want to give the urgency, what does it take to give that to the Lord so that bitterness does not ruin your ministry? It's fascinating to watch some of the old movies where it has voodoo dolls, and you see that in folk religion, where what would happen is they would make like a little doll that represented a person and just poke at that doll, to try to, in some ways, bring harm on someone else. And that was even connected to spirituality. In the pastorate, I've observed in ordination circles for the last 30 years where sometimes leaders would have like their little voodoo dolls, their little pokes at people. And ministry is one of those places that if you have bitterness, you can look at the people in your life and you can start seeing them like little voodoo dolls. Now you may say, oh no, not me. Well, I know this. Bitterness changes people. And in ministry, it changes people for the worse. And here's sort of why that works that way. On one level, we are to be humble and open. But when you're humble and open, you also get open to all sorts of attacks. And if you're one who harbors bitterness, what happens? Those attacks force you to have this like callousness, but then in ministry you're open, callous, open, you can become very passive aggressive, you can be someone who gets angry quickly, someone who, and then on the one level you're sort of playing the ministry nice game, but people are hurting you, and then you start barbing back in these sort of passive-aggressive statements about people, all in love and trying to help them. Well, maybe I should just quote James 3, 13 to 16. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show it by his good life, by deeds done in humility that comes from wisdom. So there it is. It starts with humility. But right there, James knows. But if you harbor bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, if it's about you, your ego, your getting ahead, your reputation, do not boast about it or deny the truth. Such wisdom does not come down from heaven, but is earthly, unspiritual, of the devil. For where you have envy, selfish ambition, you will find disorder in every evil practice. It's no wonder that voodoo became part of a folk religion. Now, in voodoo, if you study like Louisiana voodoo and stuff like that, you'll find it's mixed with Christianity. And yet it has this vindictive piece to it that is within that very religion. So as Christians, we don't want vindictiveness. We don't want get back attitude. We don't want to have little barbs at anybody. We want to just serve the Lord and be free and enjoy serving the Lord with all of our being. So we're going to talk today about bitterness, something that with ordination is a lethal combination. First of all, what is the cause of bitterness? Well, it's simple. Someone does something to hurt you. Or maybe it's a habit of hurt that began. And this habit of hurt continues. And you might even let someone know about the hurt they're causing you, and they continue to do it. And it's like a sore that just won't heal. Or another metaphor, it could be as if there's weeds being planted in your relational garden, and they're there, and you identify where the weed sower is, but even then, the weed sower keeps sowing weeds. Acts 8, verse 23, the Apostle Peter sees Simon there. I see you are full of bitterness and captive to sin. Here's a hardened guy, a salesman, been around the block. He sees the miracle of Christianity, and he sees that lives are changing, but he himself has been a scrapper. He's tried to figure it all out. So what he's trying to do is he's trying to get Christianity in his life sort of as a way to control and to be more powerful. But really, Philip sees his bitterness. Proverbs 14, verse 30, a heart at peace gives life to the body, but envy rots the bones. The fact of the matter is we're set free in Christ, but Satan likes to get us to go back to hurt and pain and take it on. And in ministry, this is a very damaging thing to be involved in. So the cause of bitterness is simple, and you know it. What have you been bitter about? Who have you been bitter to? How did that happen to you? Reflect on that. As you're seeking ordination, reflect on the causes of bitterness in your own life. Because what happens then is bitterness taking root can destroy your ministry. When you hold on to that hurt and refuse to forgive the person who hurt you, when you hold on to ongoing offenses of a small nature that build up over time, when each offense makes a home in your heart, soon the heart is filled with weeds of bitterness. Now, somebody may say, you don't know what hurts that I've gone through, and I don't. Some of you have been hurt beyond what I can even imagine. I understand being attacked. I understand the attack that comes in ministry. I understand it from Christian Leaders Institute. I understand as Christian Leaders Institute makes a bigger impact in the world, I've experienced attacks in my own family. I've experienced attacks to me personally. But I know that's part of ministry. There are times in the darkness of my hurt that what I want to do is just in my mind get the little voodoo doll thing out going and the barbs and attack back and that person is a negative and that person. And I'll tell you, you're tempted to do it. But I knew that bitterness would take over my life. It would destroy my ministry. You know, we can talk a lot about bitterness and sort of just leave it as, isn't that a nice intellectual topic? You think about it occasionally and you just kind of live it out anyway and the bitterness stays there. But there's that point where you say, Lord, I see that bitterness has been taking roots. And I want no part of that in my ministry. Because it will hurt my ordination. Bitterness creates a leader who takes offense too quickly. If you find that your buttons are pushed easily, you react quickly. And in how in ministry I typically see a bitter person react is I see them react around social justice issues or perceived justice issues or law issues. And it's almost as if they're trying to create a world where they make their barbs out of things that they can quote scripture over. And if you're struggling with bitterness, Christianity or being a pastor is a great place to sort of just show the world that you're really right. But it will hold you back. Hebrews 12, verse 15. See to it that no one misses the grace of God and that no bitter root grows up to cause trouble and defile many. You know, each of us have our wander, our thinker, our imagination, who we really are. But when who we really are in the background is really a vindictive person who's hurt and now trying to hurt others, even secretly using scripture, it's a disaster in ordination. So, if you're convicted to keep bitterness away from you in the ministry, what do you need to do? Very specifically, take responsibility to forgive others. In fact, waiting for someone else to forgive you or to ask for an apology or whatever is not a wise way to go. Jesus said, if you forgive others for their transgressions, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others, then your heavenly Father will not forgive your transgressions. This is one of those truths that I'm glad it's this hardwired into Christianity and into leadership. There's not this, maybe let's work it all out, but if you're right, you win more. No, it's clear. If you forgive others, take responsibility. Now think about your life right now. If you have a whiteboard, go to the whiteboard and write down specifically those that you are responsible to forgive. Now somebody may say, well, you know, this person continues to abuse me. This person, you know, if you're in a situation, let's say you're a wife and your husband is beating you and hurting you and harming you, yes, separate yourself from that abuse. Get help. I'm not saying here where it's like, they hurt me, I forgive them. They hurt me, I forgive them. No, there's a boundary in your life, a confidence that you say, you know what, I need a different situation in my life, and go for that different situation. But in the end of the day, when the situation has changed, they need your forgiveness. You need forgiving them in your very heart of hearts. You need it. You need to let go of the pain. I'm not trying to be insensitive to anybody, and everybody's situation is what it is. I'm talking about being in ministry and letting bitterness take over your whole life like weeds in a great garden. I just know we have to, it says, get rid of bitterness. There's something almost pragmatic the way it's talked about. It's like, you know what? Whatever it takes, get rid of it. Here's one of the biggest reasons it hurts ministry. Bitterness kills transparency. Bitterness tends to block those you minister to from being transparent on their own growth. What happens when you're bitter is that people start getting this idea that they cannot share with you. It pushes your buttons. They cannot be transparent with you because you've blocked your life. You have strongholds in your life of hate, strongholds in your life of anger, strongholds in your life of hurt, strongholds in your life of envy, strongholds in your life of attitudes that ultimately are about yourself. It's about your own issues. And people intuitively know not to share with and not to be in connection with people who have blocks, who are unhealthy. Bitterness makes you very unhealthy. It's like they can go to your field, and if they see a bunch of weeds, a bunch of these relational bitter weeds, they intuitively understand that there is no fruit there. There is nothing there for them. James 3, verse 14 and 15. If you harbor bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast about it, deny the truth. Such wisdom does not come from heaven, but is earthly, unspiritual, of the devil. That's what the devil's work is. The devil's ministry is to plant weeds everywhere. And you could say that you are all for God, but if weeds are all over your life and continue to be there, that's not the work of God. Here's the fact. Once you go down bitterness multiplies. Bitterness will affect your body language, your speech. You may have way more sarcasm, more angry reactions, uncalled for mistrust. You see people's hidden motivations and everything they say, and much more. It hurts your ordination witness. James 3, verse 16, for where you have envy and selfish ambition, you find disorder in every evil practice. What starts happening is that it multiplies. We read in Hebrews that it defiles many. It multiplies And pretty soon, you start planting seeds of bitterness and envy and breaking things down and hurting relationships. So, let's get now real practical. Let's get rid of bitterness. Number one, identify the bitter roots. And maybe you need some help from a trusted friend to see where the roots are. You may not even be aware of some of them. James 5, verse 16, therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. Or 1 Thessalonians 5, 21 and 22, test everything, hold to the good, avoid every kind of evil. You know, that concept of confessing to one another is fascinating. Oftentimes, we think of it as, you know, I did this, and what sin did you do, Susan? No. And that may be fine, but I believe what that's talking about is getting at the bitter roots, getting at the things that hold you back. I have some trusted friends, and I can be as transparent as ever, and they can be transparent. How do you know if you found a trusted friend? Well, you test them at first. Maybe it's a long-term friend. You're not going to be transparent to a gossip or another bitter person. It's going to be someone who is walking the way of Lord, in the Lord, who is as transparent about their journey of faith as you are about yours. Maybe your spouse and you have that kind of a relationship where your warts, so to speak, your sins, what you struggle with, your bitterness. Ask your spouse, hey, where do you see that I'm bitter? Where do you see that I react? You could even do a bitterness genogram. In other classes, we talk about genograms in the pastoral care and marriage class. And it'd be interesting to do an entire genogram about where your hurts lie. Where were some of the first hurts you remembered? How did the hurts work themselves out? Where were hurts that you got when you were in high school or grade school? And what about in your marriage? All of these things, you sort of say, look, I am going to identify the roots. And it does take work sometimes. You know what we'd love to do? We just say, oh Lord, for all the bitterness, just take it away. Amen. But what happens is that we're not being specific about it. We're not identifying those bitter roots. Number two, once they are being identified, start confessing those sins. Ask for forgiveness. Like, why would I call that a sin? Well, for years you're harboring unforgiveness. For years these things are inside of you. Say, Lord, forgive me for not identifying this and not taking responsibility. And, you know, and this might be a one-time occasion for you. I mean, I've seen God heal bitterness like this. Students will write about, just recently I got a letter yesterday from the PeopleSmart class. This person did not get a great grade in the class, but she wrote me. She said, I struggled through this class because this class forced me to deal with all the bitterness that I had been harboring for years to the point where I did poorly on this class. This person got a D+ on the class, and this person was doing A's and B's in all the other classes at Christian Leaders Institute. But she wrote, and I was bitter even for the class. But as the class continued, finally, I got the A because it broke through into my heart. I have so much bitterness, so much hurt, so much negativity, and all this people relationship stuff was just forcing me to constantly face what I didn't want to face. So it was a class that was a nightmare, and it was a class that God used for my healing and benefit. Maybe you need to make a prayer list of the hurts and give them to God. Be self-aware of what you expect of others in a relationship to you. See, part of that is that where you expect something and someone doesn't live up to that, and then you feel hurt. They hurt you, like they didn't understand you in this situation. Maybe they're totally different from you, and you're expecting them to be similar to you, understand the same words. 1 John 1, verse 9, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. It's fascinating how we talk about confession. But in this case, be very specific. You know, maybe go back to that whiteboard. You've written things down. Go back there. And then, one by one, name what you wrote down in prayer and start confessing how you've harbored this. There are some people in ministry that have a bitterness of their first years in ministry, and maybe it was a battle over budgets, or it was a battle over an item of ministry effectiveness. Maybe it was someone gave feedback, and the feedback was very critical. And now that leader is stuck, and now anyone who even talks in the very topic of where that bitterness is gets the pastor to all of a sudden close up and shoot a barb back. It's of shooting a barb in a voodoo doll. Number 3, identify the patterns of offense in yourself. Critical attitude, past hurt areas, childhood trauma. Learn what triggers your bitterness. You know, a lot of times this is very healthy. If you find that you have a critical attitude, it may be that very critical attitude toward you is where the bitterness lies. So now people who are critical, you don't even want them in your life. In fact, you keep them clear of your life. You don't want them in even your church. You don't want them in your ministry. And typically, you communicate that so you will not find thinkers necessarily in your classes because they push your buttons in the wrong way because of a hurt deeply latent inside yourself. Or pick another area. Maybe that childhood trauma is still there. And what happens is that very thing is a chink in your armor in ministry. And if you fall in ministry or you get hurt in ministry, you get frustrated, it's often these areas where that bitterness came in. So identify the patterns of offense in yourself. Why do you take offense on that thing and not this thing? Now, what do you mean? Well, I've noticed this. I mean, some people will take offense, let's say if a critical word is said, but they will not take offense in encountering, let's say, a lie or something. Okay, now what's the deal? I mean, we have to be offended when someone lies to us. But that isn't the area of hurt for you. But if you identify where those areas of hurt are, you can see where those areas of healing need to be. Galatians 5, verse 16. So I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. So what's happening here is this asking the Lord, pattern by pattern, offense by offense, is to create in me a healthy confidence in Christ, led by the Holy Spirit, identifying, Lord, help me see where I get offended and help me know why I'm offended there and help me be healed from that. Number 4, focus then on living at peace. And add into your life a self-awareness of living others. In ministry, you do develop a certain thick skin, and you must have it. What's the ministry thick skin I'm talking about? Well, it's sort of like no matter what is said in ministry, I always come to the first thing. You know what? It may not at all be about me. It could be about their own journey, one I say to myself. Number 2, is there something that is said that I could improve on, that I could grow as a leader? Number 3, if it really hurts me, this is an opportunity for me to learn about a bitterness that God may want to work with me on. Number four, as I'm working through this process, get someone else, a trusted friend involved. If it becomes something that just through the Holy Spirit cannot be dealt with right away, that's what I will do. I will call up my friend Steve, who has done a presentation here, and I'll say, you know, what do you think? Am I overreacting to this? Or I'll talk to some staff members, Wally, or I'll talk to my wife about these things. And to try to go like, is this something that I need to work on? And so instead of making it like I'm going to spit something back out at anybody, I'm looking at living at peace and in a self-aware way, learning how to love others. In ministry, this is crucial. I will tell you right now, I've been in ministry since 1987. And if you don't develop that winsome thick skin of loving others and not taking it personal, ministry is extremely difficult. James 3, verse 17 and 18. But the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy, good fruit, impartial, sincere, peacemakers who sow in peace raise a harvest of righteousness. Think about that. Weeds actually take away the fruit. They don't bring a harvest. But those who just sort of love people, have a short list of those who have created wrong in your life, move on, see their own situation. You know, there's a powerful story out of Canada of a family whose a child was murdered. And what did they do? They specifically said, we forgive the murderer. There is also a story that came out of California where another child was murdered and the father was so bitter. So even in his bitterness changes the laws of California to create this overcorrection that has brought unhappiness and even though there's a sense of justice, there is no justice because bitterness cannot be quenched. As the story goes, those two stories, and they're illustrated in one of Malcolm Gladwell's book, you saw the fruit harvest of righteousness in one case, forgiveness, healing, health, and you saw the results of bitterness in another case. And that's how it can be in ministry. You know, dealing with bitterness is crucial in ordination. Being one who loves, I love this phrase and I repeat it all the time. How can we love God who we have not seen if we cannot love our brother, our neighbor, our spouse, our parishioners, those in ministry who we have seen? I say that to myself. I say that to myself and I say, Lord, help me be a person who knows how to love and love deeply. Help me to be a person who brings joy everywhere I go. A certain banter of the happiness of life, of the gift of grace, of ministry, so that the harvest of righteousness continues to be planted and nurtured and harvest, that revival happens all over the world.